Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Dan Jacobs.
All right, out to the Jägermeister hotline. He's not awful. 1043thefan.com's James Merrillat. James, how'd you like that intro?
I was just going to say, wow, that was underwhelming. He's not awful. I guess I'll take that.
Did you not see that on the broadcast last night?
I did not. When did that go down?
So there, Rod Mackey's interviewing Vic Fangio at halftime. They're like, well, how would you rate Kevin Hogan's performance? Some good plays, some bad plays. He's not awful. It wasn't awful.
Wasn't awful.
Yeah.
Man. I think I love Vic Fangio even more after hearing that story. That's fantastic.
Well, that's ironic because Kevin Hogan played well enough to move you off your position, I'm sure, that Brock Osweiler should be the new quarterback or backup quarterback.
No.
Right?
No.
No.
Kevin Hogan, every game they play with him as the backup to Joe Flacco, the Broncos are rolling the dice. They're gambling. So, you know, until we know when Drew Lock's going to be back, we don't know how big of a gamble that is. Is it, you know, a minor one for one game? Is it a major one for 6 weeks? We don't know. But I have no faith in Kevin Hogan's ability to come in and, you know, keep things on track for a half if he had to, or two or three games if something happened to Flacco. So, no, Brock Osweiler would be a much better option. Now, neither one of them's a great option. I mean, I certainly wouldn't make that contention, but I'd feel better about Brock Osweiler having to win a game for the Broncos than Kevin Hogan, and I don't even think it's close. That's the easiest debate going.
I tend to agree with you, but why isn't Brock on a roster?
I don't know. You know, the NFL is quirky that way, right? Once you kind of get off that list, you know, you tend to kind of stay there. But he's kind of that guy that once somebody gets hurt, teams start calling. That's what happened last year, and he went down to Miami and won a couple of games. And he's just kind of in that group. He's not seen as young enough to be somebody's, you know, quarterback of the future, and he's not good enough to kind of be that guy that you have to have on the roster from the get-go. So, and heck, I don't know, maybe he'd rather be hanging out at the beach than at training camp. But he's in that same group now as Josh McCown and all those guys of, all right, well, we need a veteran guy who could come off the bench and, you know, and win a game if we had to. And he's in that category. So, you know, I think he's a short-term answer too, right? Everybody talks about how, well, I'll go get one of these San Francisco guys if they get cut. Nick Mullins isn't going to want to come here and be a three-week bridge till Drew Lock comes back, because whoever they would bring in here is only there until Drew Lock's healthy enough to be the backup. You're not bringing in somebody here who actually has the potential to be the long-term starter and long-term answer. So I think he's the perfect guy. Bring him in 3 or 4 weeks. You have an insurance policy behind Joe Flacco. I think that'd be a prudent move by the Broncos.
Well, here's what I worry about. If you remember, if you rewind to the beginning of camp, what Kevin Hogan was supposed to be was a competent backup that could play if Flacco got hurt, and, you know, the savvy veteran. And I remember you did the article saying there are guys like that that exist. It ain't him. And
yep.
What I'm afraid is Elway at that point earlier, you know, was always looking for that buffer so he could keep, you know, Drew Lock at bay. You know, if something were to happen with Flacco or if Flacco would struggle, there'd always be that third person in between, that little buffer to keep the pressure off John Elway. And I'm afraid that's exactly what Brock Osweiler would do, because you're not really going to make the argument that Drew Lock gives you a better chance to win than Brock Osweiler, because Osweiler can win a game or two. Kevin Hogan can't. So I'm just a little bit worried about that buffer thing, that you bring in Brock Osweiler and you can't get rid of him.
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying. And, yeah, Brock Osweiler, to be honest, would give the Broncos a better chance of winning a game tomorrow than Drew Lock would. At least if Drew Lock was out there, if something happened to Flacco, you can make the argument, well, he's the quarterback of the future, so there's some value in him getting snaps and getting reps where there isn't with Kevin Hogan. So it kind of would depend on, you know, where the season was. Let's say they bring in Brock Osweiler to be the backup while Drew Lock recovers and the Broncos start 4-1 and Lock comes back and it's healthy. Well, at that point, if it's 4-1, you might keep Brock Osweiler, because – if something happened to Joe Flacco for, you know, a couple of games, you'd want to keep things on the rails. If they start the season 1-4, there's no reason to keep him. If anything happened to Flacco, you go to lock, and heck, you're probably a couple of weeks away from going to lock anyway at that point. So it would kind of depend on how the season is going. He's the short term guy to keep things on track, if the season is even on track, which, man, as time goes on here, that becomes a bigger and bigger if in my mind.
Well, talk to me about, did you take away anything from last night's game?
No. Well, you know what? I did. It's the column I'm going to write for tomorrow, so you get a little preview here. This whole sense that, the Broncos don't have any depth in the NFL is a myth. It's a total myth, right? Like, well, we know, we look at it and think, well, the Broncos' backups stink, because we actually know the Broncos' backups. We don't know anything about the Chiefs' backups or the Raiders' backups or Chargers' backups or anything else. The Rams were in the freaking Super Bowl last year. The defending NFC champs, their backups didn't look any good either. It's the byproduct of salary cap football. The Broncos have $100 million this year tied up in eight guys. The salary cap's $188 million, so they got $88 million for the rest of the roster. Of course you're not going to have any depth. Nobody has any depth. So that was the one takeaway I had last night is, okay, let's not get too worried about the Broncos' twos and threes not being very good, because the Rams are a damn good football team, and their twos and threes didn't look any better. So that was my one takeaway from last night in what was one of the worst football games I've ever watched.
Oh, ouch. Of course, the thing coming down last night was the Andrew Luck bombshell, and your thoughts on that?
I don't have any problem with Andrew Luck retiring, walking away from football at 29. I don't have any problem with him being tired of the rehab and having to go through it again. Don't have any issue with that. I don't think the timing is particularly fair. Life ain't fair. I get that. But, man, 2 weeks before the start of the season, that's tough for his teammates. That's tough for his coaches, the organization.
Almost Patrick Waugh-esque.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad timing. It's horrible timing. And I think anybody who tries to defend that timing is just being, you know, it's not politically correct to say anything negative about a guy anymore. So you can't say anything negative about Andrew Luck after he announces retirement. But it's crappy timing. I mean, you know, if I live in Indianapolis and I plunk down $2,000 for a season ticket this year, and I was expecting to, you know, get to see an Andrew Luck led team that's going to contend for the AFC South, and he bails 2 weeks before the season, I'm kind of ticked. I spent my hard earned money to buy a ticket to 10 games, two of which were a total joke during the preseason. So I understand why people are upset about that. You know, once you decide to come back when the official NFL year starts, which is always mid-March, I think you've made a commitment. I think you're in. So the timing of it is bad. I think it's a bad look on Andrew Luck's part. Again, I don't have any problem with him retiring and not playing, but geez, 2 weeks before the season, come on.
I guess I'll have to turn this around on you, because when Joe Flacco was being, negative or whatever, like not being a good it's not my job to help, and you said, well, if you were at your job, you wouldn't want to help train your replacement either. I guess I'd turn that around on you, James, and say, you've never complained when anybody else quit. Why would you complain about when Andrew Luck quit?
Oh, that's not true. If you're working at a company and you guys are, you know, getting ready to make a big presentation to try and get a client, and you've been working on it for months and months and months, and or you're about to implement the new system you put in place, and the main guy, the top guy, you've all been putting in 80-hour weeks, and he decides, you know what, I'm bailing, I'm going to go retire to Key West 2 weeks before. Yeah, you'd definitely be ticked.
I challenge you to name a scenario where that's happened with you.
Where that's happened in real life?
Yeah, with you.
All right.
You'd actually be like, actually, I want that job. Yeah, okay, great. That more opportunity for me. The head guy's out or whatever. So, you know, I'm just having a little fun with you, because that was your spin. When it was Joe Flacco, it was like, well, this is like everyday American. But now it's like, oh, well, he's the number one guy. He's the star. He can't leave 2 weeks before the season. Even though, and realistically, in real life, if somebody gets hurt on their job, or they get ill, or they get sick, and they don't want to do it anymore, you wouldn't say it. You wouldn't say a darn thing.
Oh, yes, you wouldn't say, man, the timing stinks.
Like, dude, Petty Sue in accounting has lupus, and she quit. You wouldn't say that.
He doesn't have freaking lupus. He doesn't have lupus, so let's not use that as the example when he doesn't have it.
Well,
right?
He has an injury.
Yeah, if somebody has a
chronic illness.
A disease, He's got a bum calf.
He's got a chronic illness.
If he has cancer and has to walk away, you know, 2 weeks before the trial starts after you've been working on it for 6 months, you're going to be mad? Of course not. He's got freaking cancer. If a guy says, hey, I know we've been prepping for this trial for 6 months, Dan, but 2 weeks out, I got a bum calf and I want to go to Key West and hang out, you wouldn't be ticked? Come on.
We'll see. Of course you would.
Of course you would.
What else is coming up on the website, 1043thefan.com's James Marillat?
We'll be trying to figure out, all right, what did we actually learn from last night? We'll be looking ahead to the second edition of that terrible JV game, which is Thursday night.
How do we get through this, James?
Geez, a bottle of scotch? I'm not sure. And then after that, it'll be, all right, who's going to make this 53? And there's some interesting, you know, I think there's probably 10 spots that are available, which is, you know, more than normal at this point. And I was on with Chad Brown last night, and he thinks there's 6 or 7 guys that are on other rosters that could end up making this team. So, who are some of those possibilities? Where would they fit in? All that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's roster shaping time. That's what we're doing at the website.
All right, James, we appreciate it.
All right, Dan. Talk to you soon.
1043thefan.com. James Marillat on the Jägermeister hotline. Always, always have a great time when James is on the program. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Get your reaction to Mr. Marillat here on The Fan.